Welcome. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Danny Brown. I'm the lead pastor here at Abundant Life Worship Center. And today, I want to share a short message with you entitled, According to Your Faith, It Will Be Done. So I believe you're going to enjoy this. It is going to help you with your faith and with your prayer. So let's get right to it. So, according to your faith, it will be done. What does that mean? In a previous message, we talked about the prayer of faith, but today we want to have a closer look how faith affects our future, yours and mine. Our faith affects our future. Now, faith, there's many different definitions. I'm just going to give you kind of my definition that helps explain a little bit. Faith, to me, is believing that produces action, and that action will in turn cause the power of God to work. All right? So faith is not simply something in your head. Faith is much more than that. Listen to this. According to your faith, it will be done. What does that mean? Let me give you scripture and let's get going with this message. Matthew 8:5-13. It says, Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, My servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed the same hour. You see, Jesus makes a statement here. First, he says, the faith of this man is amazing, greater faith than he's yet seen. The man believed that Christ could simply speak it and it would happen. You see, up to that time, most of the healings Christ did, he put his hand on or he did something physical for the person. This was one of the first to believe he could simply speak it. And Jesus' answer to him was not, oh, that's too difficult, or I don't know if I can. His answer was, even as you've believed, it will be done. You see, God is not lacking in power to do it. God is not lacking in the supernatural or the ability to do it. But he is waiting for you to believe it's possible. And he looks at this man and says, even as you believed it, it will be done. And sure enough, at that moment, at that hour, his servant was healed because of his faith causing the power of God to work. Now, this is an amazing subject that we want to look at and so important to our lives and to what happens to us today, tomorrow, next week, next year. You see, faith must be present if you're a believer. Now think about it for a minute. What if this centurion had not believed that his servant could be healed? And instead, he believed that his servant would soon die. I can guarantee you his servant would have died. Because you see, faith that produces action is what caused him to go to Jesus in the first place and talk with him. Faith produces action. If the man believed his servant was just going to die, there's no way he could be healed, he never would have got up and went to Jesus. He never would have told Jesus, just speak the word, and his servant would have died. Faith is important. The words and actions we speak show what we really believe. And this centurion's actions to go find Jesus and his words to say, just say it, showed what he truly believed. I'm thankful he believed for his servant. In Matthew 9, verse 27 to 31, we read this. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. See, here's two blind men. They know that Jesus has the power to heal, and they are following him, crying out to him. And when we read this story, it actually doesn't sound like he immediately answered them, because it says that they followed him into the house, the place where he was dwelling. And then he asked them, do you believe this is possible? Do you believe that I am able to do this? In other words, here is Christ, the Son of God and God manifest in the flesh. And he is asking them, do you believe I'm able to do this? Because you see, it was going to happen for them if they believed. They said, yes, we do. And he said, according to your faith, it'll be done. In the Passion Translation, verse 29 reads this way. Then Jesus put his hands over their eyes and said, you will have what your faith expects. Wow. What a word. You will have what your faith expects. You see, Jesus provides this supernatural power to heal their blind eyes, but their faith allowed it to be a reality for them right then and there. You see, God has already done what's necessary for you and I to be healed. He's already done what's necessary for you and I to move out in the direction he's leading us, whether that be for you, business, your job, maybe a promotion, whatever it is that he's saying do, he's provided what's needed, but your faith will allow it to come to pass, or your lack of faith will cause something else to come to pass. You will have what your faith expects. The second point I want to make about faith today as we look at this is this. If you cannot believe for it, it will never be yours. This is very important. If you cannot believe for it, it will not be yours. You know, often over the years of ministry, I've heard people say, well, if God wants to do it, he'll just do it. God has already done what's needed for it to happen, and he doesn't just do it. He's waiting for you to believe. So friend, believe. Trust him. Get to know who he is and believe, because if you cannot believe it, it will never be yours. Let me read you a story from 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. And chapter 7. And in this story, Israel is besieged by the king Ben-Hadad, and his army comes around the city of Samaria, and it creates a famine in the land. You see, the armies would come around and they would not let anybody go out or in, therefore the food sources dry up, and before long people are starving. So much so that they would sell, it said, they sold a donkey's head for 80 pieces of silver and a cup of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. It gets even worse to the point where people are eating their children. What a terrible, horrible story, but it happened. And the king of Samaria all of a sudden he becomes angry at Elisha. You see, Elisha was the prophet of God, and we're not told exactly why he becomes angry at Elisha, but his statement when he hears about this horrible act of people eating their children, he says, "Today Elisha's head will be cut off." He blames Elisha, or possibly he's blaming God, and, well, Elisha is God's messenger. Either way, he is determined it's Elisha's fault. The thing is, Elisha knows from God that the king and a messenger are coming, and you know they're coming to take his head, but God warns him they're coming, and he tells him when this messenger shows up, just hold him at the door. The king's going to be soon after him. And then Elijah gives a message to the king about what God really wants to do. And we read that in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. And it says, Elisha replied, "Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. By this time tomorrow, in the markets of Samaria, 6 quarts of choice flour will cost only 1 piece of silver, and 12 quarts of barley grain will cost only 1 piece of silver." You see, he's saying that quality food will be worth almost nothing by tomorrow, and yet the king has just heard that dove's dung is being sold for 5 pieces of silver. And the officer that was there with the king looks at the man of God and says, "This is impossible. This could never happen, even if the very windows of heaven opened." And Elisha speaks to this assistant, and he says, "You're going to see it happen, but you won't eat any of it." What a word. It is interesting to me as well that the king keeps his lips shut. You see, the king has experienced God moving through what Elisha says more than once. And he knows, I'm not saying anything. If God is speaking through Elisha, I'm going to be quiet and listen. But the assistant doesn't know that. And he says, "That is impossible." And for him, it would be impossible. He would not taste of any of it. And as we continue to read this story, which I don't want to go into all the details of, amazing story, you need to read it, go to 2 Kings chapter 7 and read the whole story, we find out that God miraculously, through 4 lepers who take off towards the enemy's camp, find that it's completely empty, the word of God comes to pass completely. The people rush out of the city to gather the spoils of an amazingly large army who has disappeared. When they go out, the assistant of the king is put there to hold the door. He is trampled and dies. This is a story that is one of those stories you probably don't want to share at Sunday school. It sounds horrible, but it's true. And because he couldn't believe, it was not his. You see, you and I, sometimes God speaks into our life. He wants good for us. He wants much better than we can imagine, but because we can't believe, it's not ours. The third thing that I want to say today on this topic is about leaders and faith. Because you see, leaders must believe before those they lead will believe. Leaders must first believe, or those following them will not believe. There's a story in Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14 that shows this very clearly. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we read the story of how God is about to bring his people into the promised land, a land that was said to flow with milk and honey, a land that was rich, prosperous, and amazingly blessed. God was about to bring them in there, but before he did, he instructs Moses to send leaders ahead to check out the land. Let me just read that to you in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "The Lord now said to Moses, 'Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to Israel. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes.'" So 12 men went out. Each of them was a leader of his tribe. Each of them was a man of influence who was sent, according to God's direction to Moses, to go out and check out the promised land that God wanted them to enter into. So they did just that. They went out, they checked out the land. And as they went, they saw figs and grapes. They saw prosperity and great things. But they also saw that there was very high walls around the cities. They saw that there was very large people and soldiers. And they could not believe that God wanted this amazing land for them. You see, their faith in how good God was and what he wanted for them was lacking. And they came back from this adventure of checking out the land God was about to take them in, and 10 of those 12 men could not believe it was for them. They said, "Oh, it's a great land, but it eats up the inhabitants. There are giants. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't possibly do it." This is amazing, but these leaders who were sent because they had influence, they had the ability to influence a nation for God, and they chose fear over faith. You read their words in those chapters, the reason they couldn't believe, they were afraid. They knew they were going through the desert. They knew they were supposed to be coming to a promised land of Canaan. They knew it, they knew it, they knew it. But when they checked it out, there were some scary things. When they checked it out, it wasn't going to just be easy. As a matter of fact, they were going to have to fight for it. What? Isn't God giving it to them? Yes, but they would have to want it, they would have to believe it was theirs, and they would have to fight for it. So these leaders shrunk, they let fear become greater than faith, and they said, "We can't do it." The terrible thing about this is these leaders were called and put into position to affect those they led positively, to take them forward into God's promises, to take them forward into God's land. But they chose not to. And we see that these men, 10 of them, because of their fear and their words of unbelief, they caused an entire generation to miss out on God's promises and die in the wilderness. Hey, if you've been chosen to lead, you are required to have faith. If you choose fear over faith, you will be held accountable for those you lead. God says, choose faith. Two of those men did choose faith, Joshua and Caleb, but 10 chose not. And do you know that the faith of Joshua and Caleb was not enough to influence the people? The majority of those leaders chose something different, and then they got what they believed for. They believed for the wilderness. They believed for death, and that's what they got. Let's believe for God's best. Let's believe for God's promise for our life and for whatever we lead. I know some who are listening here, you lead a business. Do you have faith that your business is going to succeed? Do you have faith that your employees will do well? Your faith will influence those you lead. But if you lead with fear, those that follow you will also become fearful, and you will see the opposite of faith take place. God's promises are possessed. God's promises are received through faith, not fear. When you think about the story of the talents, And the different men were given different amounts of talents to go and invest and increase. One man chose to simply bury it. And when we read his words, we know he didn't step out in faith to try and invest it, because let's be honest, when you invest, when you try something, there's faith that's required. But instead, it tells us that he buried it. When the time was up, he said, "Here it is." And his words say, "I know that you are a hard man." His words spoke of fear. He was afraid. Faith says we'll use what God gives us and it will be greater. Faith says God has something good and he is not ever going to fail us. God is good, and faith is necessary from leaders. And I just want to encourage, there's somebody watching, you're leading a small business. I know I've already kind of spoke to business people, but I really sense you lead a small business, and lately you've been feeling really fearful. And your fear is blinding you to what God has in store, and it's going to affect your future. You need to get in prayer. You need to ask the Lord some steps you can take, and then you need to research what he's giving you. I sense he wants to give you a little bit of a plan, some ideas, then you need to go and see, is this possible in the business that you're doing? And you're going to see that it is. It's not going to be exactly easy, but if you take those steps, you'll see God pour out miraculously on your business. Faith, not fear. The final point I want to make today in this message is nothing is impossible when we believe. Mark 9 and verse 23 to 24 says this. It says, "The Spirit often throws him in the fire into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." You see, this is a father bringing his son to Jesus, and the son is tormented and often thrown in a fire. He's often, this spiritual force tries to kill him. And the father is saying, "Please, Jesus, have mercy on us and help us if you can." Listen to Jesus' reply in verse 23. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." You see, there is no question about whether or not Jesus can. The question is, do you have faith to believe for it? And this man was a very smart man. He said, "I do believe," or maybe more, "I want to believe. Help my unbelief." And God is an amazing, merciful God, and he helped his unbelief. And then he looked and he turned to the son, because people were coming and running together to see a scene. And Jesus wasn't about a show. He was about transforming lives. And he quickly prayed for the son, and the son was set free. But it hinged on, could the father believe? This is an amazing thing. Your faith truly has an effect on your future, because as you believe, so will it be done. When we believe God's promises are for us right now, we will experience them. You see, I've seen sometimes people believe, well, God can do it, but maybe it's for somebody else. That's not faith. Or sometimes people say, well, I believe God can do it, but it's just, well, it's maybe not now. It's for much later. It's still a way of doubting. It's still a way of saying, it's not for me right now. His promises are for you right now. You need to know that. His promises are for you right now. You know, maybe you need to say that for yourself. Say, his promises are for me right now. They are. And when you can believe that, his promises become reality for you. I want to ask you a question as I finish up today. And it's this. What are you believing for? What is it that you're believing and needing God to do? I want you to just choose one thing right now that you're believing for God to do, and I want you to speak it out loud wherever you are. So it's come to your mind. You know what that thing is. Speak it out loud. I'm believing God will. Speak it out loud. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a second question. Now that you've spoken out loud, what action do you believe God wants you to take? Because I have found over and over that we speak out what we believe in faith, and the next thing, there is a step or an action that God asks us to do. Again, part of faith. Whatever action it is, you feel it, you sense it, go and do it. I want to just share with you a quick testimony story that happened a number of years ago, actually, for my father. This was many years ago. I'm going to tell the story best I remember it. Sometimes my timeline gets confused, but I'm just going to say I was young. And we were at a gospel church meeting. And at the meeting, there was a special speaker, and he was talking about a number of different topics, but he was talking on that night about healing and different things that God wanted to do. But as the service began, there was singing and songs, and as those songs were going, we could feel this love, this presence of God, and it was just really a great time, I remember even as a young person. And then the speaker came, and as the speaker was there, he just looked out and he said, you know, God's showing me that he wants to heal someone from ulcers. And he said, if you'll just put your hand up right now, God's going to heal you. There was an action step necessary. You know, if you were sitting in that crowd and you had ulcers, if you didn't believe God healed, you would most definitely not put your hand up. If you thought this guy's kooky, I'm just going to wait and see what God wants to do, you would not have put your hand up. If you thought, well, you know, I've got ulcers, but there's probably lots of other people, I don't think it's for me, you would not have put your hand up. Thankfully, my father said, I've got ulcers, I need healing, I believe God can do it, I'm putting my hand up. Now, he didn't say any of those things, but in his heart, he believed it, and his actions proved it. He told us after, when he put his hand up, that he felt this warm feeling come all the way down his hand, through his arm, into his stomach, and he was completely healed of ulcers, and he never had ulcers again. You see, God heals, but he requires us to believe. What action does he want you to do? Please do it. I want to pray here as we finish up. And you know, I want to pray, first of all, if you're watching this message and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you right now. He loves you more than you can imagine. He died on a cross to forgive you of your sin and to provide healing. You know, this is not a healing message, but faith and healing definitely go together. But if you have not done that and you're saying, I want Christ to come into my life, I want to know his love and his presence and be forgiven, then I simply want to lead you in a prayer that tells him just that. So repeat this prayer after me if that's what you're feeling. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Give me faith. Use my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, you can be sure that Christ has heard, he's forgiven you, you've begun a new life with him. And if you did pray that prayer, I want you to go over to our website. You can find the web address in the links. It's www.alwc.church. If you go on our website, right up on the top tab, it'll say, Find Jesus with a question mark. Click on that, and follow through. We want to connect with you, and we want to see you blessed. And finally, I want to pray with those watching today who you're feeling a little bit like that father who, I want to believe, but I just don't know if I can. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray that you will be able to believe him for anything. And even as that father said, Lord, help my unbelief. We're going to pray about that. So let's just pray right now. Lord, I pray for each and every person who's maybe feeling a little shaken right now in their faith. Maybe the thought of, is it possible, is a little bit harder to reach. Lord, I just pray right now and I rebuke fear. Fear is the enemy of faith, and I command fear, leave right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak to that heart that is beginning to doubt you. Lord, you are a God that never fails, and we do not have to doubt. I command doubt, leave in Jesus' name. God will not fail you. He will meet that need. Believe him, speak it out, and take that action step in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of our message here. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, God loves you more than you can imagine. He's got great things for you. Believe it. We'll see you next time. God bless.